I spoke to Joe Klein, who writes both nonfiction journalism for The New Yorker about politics and about this present campaign, even as he writes and publishes best-selling fiction about politics. He wrote, of course, Primary Colors, which starred Jack Stanton, which was a very thinly disguised version of Bill Clinton. And it seems to me in this new book of his, which is called The Running Mate, he created a fictional presidential candidate called Charlie Martin, who it seems to me is a more idealized, perfect version, or at least perfect in Joe Klein's mind, of a president we'd like to have.
I don't express political desires in my novels. I just tell stories. But I did find that, you know, having a candidate and a character who is a Vietnam veteran gave me, you know, something that any novelist really wants to have, and that is a character, a main character who has a sense of perspective, a distance from what he's doing, and a certain irreverence about it. In fact, there were two actual stories that led to the creation of Charlie Martin. One involved John McCain, the other involved Bob Kerry. McCain was saying to me, this was 4 years ago, at a time when he never thought he was going to run for president, he was saying to me that being fingered in the Keating Five scandal, the banking scandal, was more difficult for him personally in many ways than being a prisoner of war because his honor had been called into question. And I thought, well, there's an interesting idea for a novel. The Kerry story took place when he was governor of Nebraska. He was dating Deborah Winger at the time, and the press found out about it. And as you know, Kerry received the Congressional Medal of Honor and lost most of a leg in Vietnam. And the press set upon him and said, you're sleeping with Deborah Winger in the governor's mansion and you're not married. And Kerry said, what can I say? She swept me off my foot. And I thought that sort of irreverence, a politician who could bring that sort of distance to what he does, would be a really wonderful character to explore, to see what would happen when I threw all of the nonsense of the 90s, the stupid sex scandal, you know, the difficult opponent who was more of an entertainer than a politician, when I threw all of that in the character's face.
And it worked well, but it left me, certainly as a reader, wishing that a Charlie Martin figure had a chance in hell of becoming president, as I wish that a person like Bob Kerry or Bill Weld had a chance in hell of becoming president.
Well, you know, I think that that in the future they might. I think that, you know, politics in this country keeps on changing. The public is very hip, very sophisticated. And in some ways, this election ended before, at least the primary part of it, ended before most Americans even knew it was started. I mean, one of the sanest things about Americans at this moment in history is that they're not very interested in politics at all because it's peripheral to their lives. But I think that when they do pay attention, they've come to the end of the road with a lot of this market-tested sort of language that politicians have come to use in the Clinton era. And they're looking for politicians who are refreshing and candid and funny.
One way in which it is different writing political novels today than it was even 20 years ago is the degree of intimate personal information that we as citizens, as readers of the media, have about the lives of these people, Bill Clinton being the most extravagant example. Does that change the fictional challenge?
Oh, in that case, it's at the heart of what I'm trying to do. I mean, what I tried to do in both Primary Colors and The Running Mate was to show how the fact that everything is known and everything gets to be known is so much at the heart of being a politician nowadays. And, you know, having to deal with the fact that your kids and your wife and your girlfriend is going to know every last stupid thing that you did over the past 30 years really changes has really changed the terrain of public life immeasurably.
Clearly, since the age of Kennedy, but certainly reaching an apotheosis with Ronald Reagan, politics has become this theatricalized spectacle and which everybody knows now and concedes and realizes even as it's being played out before them. Has that changed the nature of politics at a deep level fundamentally? And from your perspective as a teller of stories, as a maker of fictions about this world, does that alter how you portray the nuts and bolts of political life?
Oh, sure. I think that the advent of television First radio, but then particularly television, has changed everything. But another thing has happened, and it's happened too recently to really be able to make a judgment about it, and that's this. With the advent of the all-news cable networks and all the various other technological forms, the internet and so forth, the distance between our leaders and the public has evaporated. 100 years from now, this period will be remembered as the time when that happened. And I'm not so sure it's a good thing. I mean, it may be, you know, in many ways a good thing, but in other ways, it has, you know, there's a certain amount of mystery that's needed to be a really effective leader. I think it's probably a great thing that we didn't know that Franklin Roosevelt was in a wheelchair and that he was running a love commune in the White House during World War II. He probably would have been driven from office if we had known that. You know, it gets even more complicated than what we've been saying. I mean, the latest twist is to create a theater that, you know, that implies the absence of theater. What McCain was about, and I think what other candidates are going to be about in the future, is was called authenticity during the campaign, which is to give a speech and take a position and make a quip that sounds as if it were invented right on the spot without the help of consultants or focus groups. And that makes the notion of theater even more complicated and I guess existential.
And as Sam Goldwyn said, once you can fake sincerity, you can do anything.
Right. Right.
You say you wouldn't draw the line in Vietnam. Well, then just where do you propose to stand up against the communists? On the beaches in Santa Monica?
McKay says he will not let them land on the beaches of Santa Monica, because the parking problem is bad enough already.
Okay, that's it.
Thank God for small favors.
Okay, that's
all
it.
Right.
That was a wonderfully authentic scene from Robert Redford's wonderfully authentic film, The Candidate, in 1972, in which the candidate's spontaneous quip was plotted and planned and scripted.